God's grace and peace be with each of you this day. Throughout the season of Lent, and especially as part of our midweek services here at St. Mark's, we have been meditating on different perspectives of the Passion of Christ. And we've looked at Nicodemus and Judas, Pilate, Simon of Cyrene, the thief on the cross, and the Roman centurion. This morning we consider four more of the people of the Passion and the unique perspectives that they offer us. So the ones we'll focus on today are the Apostle Peter, the High Priest Caiaphas, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph of Arimathea. Each reflection will be preceded by a verse of, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" So I invite you to join in with the singing of that verse each time. And each reflection will be followed by a short meditation and prayer. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
I was there.
I was always there. Although there are some parts I'd rather forget. My name is Peter, and I was one of Jesus' closest followers. When Jesus told us he would suffer and die, I said it would never happen. When Jesus said he wanted to wash my feet, I said it would never happen. When Jesus said that we would all desert him, I said it would never happen. But it did, all of it. Jesus said just as he said it would. He called me. Jesus washed me. He taught me. Jesus befriended me. And I opposed him and argued with him and denied him. Not once either, but three times before the rooster crowed. That is the part that torments me the most. When he needed me, I wasn't there for him. When he needed protection, I was busy trying to protect myself. Was I there when they crucified my Lord? I was always there until it mattered the most.
Friends, are we like Peter? Close to Jesus when it suits, but far away when it counts. Hot and cold, cowardly and bold. Swinging swords 1 minute, cowering in a corner the next. Do we confess faith in one breath, but deny it in many other ways? Do we answer his call to believe, but retreat when that faith is put to the test? Friends, remember that Jesus called, washed, taught, and befriended Peter, and that he died for Peter as well. Remember that later he forgave Peter and he restored Peter right alongside the Sea of Galilee where they had first met. Three times Peter had denied him, three times Jesus restored him. "Now feed my sheep," he says to Peter. "Now guide my people. Now be the rock on which the church is built that I have called you to be." Jesus always comes to seek and save his lost sheep. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are sorry for the ways we deny you in our lives. Make us bold in confessing our faith. Make us reliant on your grace. Make us trusting in your goodness. Remind us that you always come to seek and save that which is lost, including us. Amen.
Of course I was there. I was a high priest that year. My name is Sophias, and I was responsible for the temple and its sacrifices and for maintaining the traditions of our people. I worked hard, especially during the Passover. But that year was different. The crowds were distracted. People everywhere were talking about Jesus of Nazareth, that carpenter's son. His teaching was dangerous. I tell you, That's why I advised our leaders that it would be better if one man died for the people. You see, I firmly believe that the end justifies the means. So I led the plot to bring Jesus down. I gathered evidence. Although, truth be told, there wasn't much to be found. My servants and officers arrested him. My father-in-law, Annas, questioned him. And I sent him to Pilate to be tried and put to death. But the key was the crowd. By the time he got to trial, we had them so worked up, so zealous, so angry, he never stood a chance.
Friends, are we like Caiaphas? Given power, but overstepping its mark. Given responsibility, but never content with its boundaries. Do we convince ourselves that the end justifies the means? That good intentions cover bad decisions? Do we give Jesus short shrift, handing him over to someone else to deal with or to serve because we have better things to do with our time? Friends, remember that when Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. The once and for all sacrifice had been made. The true high priest, the one even greater than the temple, had come. And so the old sacrificial system had come to an end. Jesus died for Caiaphas too, you know, and for Annas, and for Pilate, and for Barabbas, and for the sins of the whole world. Caiaphas was right about one thing, though. It is better for one man to die for the people. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we are sorry when we overstep the mark or neglect to offer our lives in service to you. Strengthen our faith in you as our prophet, priest, and king, and as the once and for all sacrifice for sins. Amen.
I was there when he was born. I was there when the angels and shepherds and wise men welcomed his birth. I was there when he first went to Jerusalem. I was there when he first got in Jerusalem, when he first got lost in Jerusalem. That scared me half to death. I was there when Simeon said, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, and so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." How right he was. My name is Mary. I am the mother of Jesus. I was there at his birth, and I was there at his death. I can only describe the pain as unbearable, the grief as indescribable. But my son reserved one of his last and kindest words for me, and I will never forget it. He said to John, "Behold your mother," and to me, "Behold your son." And from that moment on, John took me in. I have been provided for, I have been cared for, I have been loved. A sword did pierce my soul, but his word also saved it.
Friends, are we like Mary? There since the early days, watching, listening, taking it all in and treasuring it in our hearts. But sometimes further from him than we might like to be. Do we feel sometimes as though he has left us, when all the while he is right where he promises to be, in his father's house, going about his father's business? Do we give of ourselves to serve him and to serve others, and sometimes feel that our return is a piercing look or attitude or sword? Friends, remember that a bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. We are children of a gracious Heavenly Father who has sent his only Son to bear our grief and our shame. His words are compassionate and gracious, and he always has our best interests at heart. No matter how often we turn from him, he will never turn from us. His word created us. His word sustains us. His word can pierce us like a sword, but in the same breath can save our very souls. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your humble servants of every time and every place who hear your words and put them into practice. Make us, like them, eager to listen and obey. Comfort us in our pain and grief. Be near us and our loved ones, even in death. Provide for us, Lord, in this world and the next. Amen.
No, I wasn't there. Not at the crucifixion, anyway. But I was there afterwards. My name is Joseph of Arimathea, and I was part of the Jewish ruling council. I'd learned about Jesus and believed that he was who he said he was, but I kept that opinion to myself. I towed the party line, but I'd always had the sense that my time would come. After Jesus died, I saw my opportunity. The Jews respected me. The Romans could use me. I already had the tomb, so I asked Pilate for permission to bury his body. Nicodemus helped. We were in a unique position, he and I, well educated, well respected, well off. But our faith was still small, still forming, like a mustard seed, you could say. Together we took his lifeless body down from the cross, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in the tomb. He deserved a proper burial. It was the least we could do for him after all he had done for us.
Friends, are we like Joseph of Arimathea? Do we feel our faith is small and forget that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us? Do we follow him but also fear what others would think if they knew? Do we have special opportunities to serve because of our education or income or the respect he has blessed us with? Could we be the right person at the right time for the right task? Will we be ready when our time comes? Friends, remember that Jesus died and was buried and that his tomb was sealed with a stone. But he called on the faithfulness of his followers to get him there. And now he calls on us to carry his name before the world. With the words, "It is finished," Jesus bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. It is finished. Our guilt, our shame, our fear, it is finished. Done away with, dealt with, died for, and sealed with a stone. It is finished, he says. For Peter, for Caiaphas, for Mary, for Joseph, for every one of them and every one of us. Friends, his death has opened the way to a new and living hope, a hope to be realized just 3 days on. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son to atone for the sins of the world. Remind us that this includes us, and that we too are one of the people of the Passion. Forgive our particular sins and show us our unique opportunities to serve you in life and death. Amen.